Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined as always by my lovely co-host, Justin Southwell. Justin, where were you this weekend at the Legends dinner? Because I was there with the Legends and the legend Justin Southwell was not.
Wow. You know, sometimes legends have other things going on. So this time I was actually at a dance recital for my niece. So I was there to support my niece in her dance recital. It's like an annual event. And this year we had it in Shawnee. Yeah,
I will allow that. But I did get to meet one of our loyal listeners, Justin Blackman, in the flesh. Hey, Justin, I know you're listening on Spotify or watching on YouTube. Appreciate you. So great meeting you in person. Come back anytime.
He gave you the real story of Freak Time Showtime, I'm sure.
We talked a little bit about it. Yes. Okay. Yes. I forget how it was brought up. We did do a lot of talk about like transfer portal and how he's like, I don't care what, I mean, he talked about this on our show too. It's like, I don't care if you're a five-star recruit or a zero-star recruit, show me what you got on the field. Like, and that's one of the things he hates about the transfer portal. It's like, okay, well, X player was big time at whatever school, but I don't care what you did there. What are you going to do here? And you know what? I love that mentality. I love that attitude because he was a two-star and now look at him, College Football Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. You got to prove it on the field. You can't just do it on the portal, on practice, whatever. You know, you just, that's the mindset that more people should have instead of giving these guys the benefit of the doubt, giving them, promising all kinds of money in the world to these guys. If you just come here, it doesn't always work out that way. Like, it has to be, it has to make sense.
One of the biggest things, like, not that Justin Blackman talks crap, because that's not it at all, but he'll talk, like, he puts up, you know, like, put up or shut up, he puts up. So I can respect his opinion on the transfer portal. It's like, I don't care. Like, show me, you know, if you want to talk that talk, walk that walk. And I think Blackman's proven that. And then also this weekend, I got to sit down with a bunch of legends. That show should be coming out sometime in the next week or two on OSU Max. Robert Allen and I met with football alum and got to talk to them about their time in Stillwater. And I got to talk to the legend, Terry Miller. So that was nice. pretty exciting.
So on the day that we honored Terry Miller for the Ring of Honor, I actually ran into him. I may have told this story on here before, so apologies if I have, but I ran into him in line as we're waiting to get into the stadium. Camera crew is following him because he's getting honored. We had to make sure that was proudly displayed on OSU Max, but it was cool. You know, I got to stop, see him real quick. He noticed that I was wearing my O Club apparel. He was like, hey, talking to another O Club guy. What's up? So it was cool for even just to see him in passing. But I would love to have him maybe even on the show one of these days and to sit down, hear his story, ask him some questions and dive into what it's like to be an Oklahoma State legend.
it's just amazing how many guys came back for the weekend at the dinner from all different eras. You know, like when I played lacrosse in college, it was one of my highlights of my college career. Some of my closest friends were on that team. Some of my best memories in college were playing lacrosse. But we have not had reunions like that. And our teams are so much smaller. We had maybe 20 people max on a team. But it's just awesome to see like teams of hundreds of guys and even guys who might not have gotten a ton of playing time. They still come back for this weekend because this program means so much to them. And either I'll say, you know, like a lot of them played before Boone-Pickens Stadium was Boone-Pickens Stadium and it was still Lewis Field. So it's just so cool to see how it's evolved and just the brotherhood that still exists from people from, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
There's a level of respect there for everybody that's gone through the program. Everybody knows what sacrifices were made, what it took to be on the team, and to be able to come back to Stillwater and to share that with other guys that have been through it. That's, I mean, what else could you ask for, right? So I think for a long time, this wasn't something that was maybe a regularly occurring event. And I think now it's becoming maybe a little bit more of a priority from our athletic department to make sure that we get these guys in 1 to 2 times a year to make sure that they have the opportunity to, you know, take advantage of it and have the alumni relations that I think maybe we've heard about from other universities and things like that. So what can OSU do to, you know, show appreciation for the legends and to make sure that they are staying connected with the university? It's just a great way for anybody, recruits even, to see, you know, this is something that's appealing. This can be me one day if they're looking that far ahead to say, hey, things go well here. It doesn't end whenever the last whistle on my last game, whenever I hang up the cleats. It continues on. This is a family, and it's an honor to be a part of it, just to be able to meet with those guys, to talk with them, hearing stories, and it doesn't even always have to be football. I went to a baseball game the other day and I saw another guy wearing his O Club gear and he's looking at the Hall of Fame that they've got, the Wall of Fame they've got there. I had to ask him, I was like, so man, what team did you play for and all this stuff? And got to hear a little bit of his story and it was really cool. It was just cool.
Well, cool weekend for the football alum, even cooler weekend for Cowgirl Tennis. Big 12 champs, Justin. Beat Texas 4-0. Yeah. It was
Which
fun.
Is, yeah, that's like sheer dominance. I mean, that's for love.
Yeah, so tennis, college tennis. Are you familiar with college tennis and scoring?
Somewhat.
Okay, but so
for the listeners that don't know, yes, and maybe a little bit of me, how about you explain it a little bit for us, Meg?
Sure. So I have educated myself over the last few months because I have done a lot of interviews with all of the starters and the top players on both the men's and women's tennis teams, interviewed both head coaches, Chris Young and Dustin Taylor, and I've had to learn a little bit about college scoring. So in college scoring, it is best of 7. The doubles play first. There are 3 doubles matches playing concurrently. If you win school that wins 2 of those 3 gets the doubles point. You play 1 set, play to 6, win by 2, you know, but you're not, obviously in women's tennis, a set, you usually play best of 3 sets. Doubles, you play 1 set, first team to win 2 of their matches gets the point. So that's 1 point. After, you have 6 singles matches, you know, 1-1, 2-2, with your coaches pick the lineup. Those 6 matches are each worth a point. So the first, you know, you could win the doubles, and then that's what happened to the men. They won the doubles point versus Texas in the semis, and then Texas won 4 of the 6 singles to win the best of 7 series 4-1. So it's a team sport, but it's also an individual sport because you want to win your match for your ranking for the individual NCAAs, but you want to win. So yes, 4-0. We also beat Texas Tech in the semifinals 4-0, but that was a lot closer because there were several matches in the third set of the singles, and the singles they play best of 3 as they normally do if you had a individual match at like a Grand Slam tennis tournament. But yeah, it was just sheer dominance from Oklahoma State against Texas. And I talked to some people associate with the program and they're like, we're nervous. We've beat Texas twice this season. It's hard to beat a team three times. Yeah, no, they had absolutely no issue. Christina Novak was named the MVP of the tournament. She won her match against Texas 6-1, 6-2, 3-0 on the weekend, 18-0 on the season in singles play. And the Cowgirls are 27-0 on the season as the number one team in the country. Whew.
That's a lot.
Dang, it's a lot.
That's good. Sorry.
Threw a lot of information. It's like complicated, but also when you're watching it, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's good. Any sport that has abnormal scoring, it's always an interesting learning curve to understand that. And especially not even just scoring, but sometimes it's the way that they rank for the playoffs even and stuff like that. I'm just like, what do you mean that you have to be top four to make it in this other league? What is this other league? Who are they? And so there's so much to learn in all the sports. So you can't be an expert in all of it.
An hour ahead, or so Chris Young, the women's tennis coach and the director of tennis as a whole at Oklahoma State, he's on the selection committee. So he's flying up to Indianapolis on Sunday morning to pick the brackets for both men's and women's. He told me today that he's going to have a little bit heavier hand in the men's so that it's a little like he's not the head coach of the men's team. But he was saying that the thing with tennis is that obviously, we're going to host. So like the road to the championship goes through Stillwater. We will host a regional. If we win in that, we will host a super regional. And if we win that, the NCAA, well, regardless, the NCAA championship is here in Stillwater for both men and women from May 16th to 25th, I think it is, which would be awesome. There's going to be a festival. Corey Kent is going to be performing. If any country music fans and OSU fans out there, like alum was on The Voice. But he was saying that there's also a rule that if a school is within 400 miles of a host site, they have to play in that region. So there's a chance that there could be a school like Arkansas, he was saying, is like on the brink. Like they're like a we'll see where they fall. But he's hoping that they fall to their bracket because then, you know, they could end up with a team like a better team would have to fly down because other teams would be sent to other regionals based on their geographic location.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's seeding, but there's also like once you get out of the top 16 teams host, and then once you get into that, it's like, okay, well, we'll just say OU 17, but you know, they're gonna come to R because they're close enough that they would end up, you know, or if like Stanford's, you know, it's a whole thing. It's a whole weird thing. So,
well, interesting. With OSU being number one, you got a target on your back. You're going to have to beat everybody anyway. So you might as well just take care of them. Doesn't matter who it is. If it's OU, it's OU. If it's Arkansas, it's Arkansas. It's Texas. Just go ahead and beat Texas.
But you don't want to win it all. You don't want to play like those top teams that
I want them all of them. Let's go.
Yeah, but you want to like get to the championship. But if you guys are,
you can do it. You can do it, and it'll be that much more impressive because you beat all the top teams to get there. Yeah. Historic run.
Fair.
But at the same time, yeah. What's the point of being ranked number one and having that advantage if you're not really getting that advantage?
I understand. Correct. And he was saying, if I forget what year it was, either it was either 2019 or 2016. Maybe it was last year, but there was a year that they ended up having to fly to Stanford or something. They had to play Stanford earlier, even though they should not have met, but the way other teams were assigned based on geographical location, it's like, well, okay, cool. We're playing Stanford now when we can wait a little bit later. So I mean,
maybe it's a little bit like the NBA playoffs, right? You got the Western and Eastern Conference, and the Western Conference is absolutely stacked. And then you got like maybe one or two teams in the Eastern Conference, and they have like this easy path all the way through the playoffs to reach whoever is going to be probably beat up by the end of the Western Conference. It's a tough deal. You know, the regional split it's a little bit arbitrary, but I don't know. I guess they got to do what they got to do.
But if you have not been to a match at the Greenwood Tennis Center, I highly recommend trying to get to Stillwater one of the next three weekends. Because again, we're definitely hosting the first weekend in May. So I think May 2nd through 4th or 3rd and 4th is the regional round in Stillwater for the women. The men will be traveling somewhere else. They're not a top 16 seed probably. And then if we win that bracket, we will host the following weekend as well. So graduation weekend, like the 10th and 11th, we'll host regionals. And then the week after that is when the whole tournament kicks off. And like, it's so fun because you can see all six courts. You can, people just like bounce from court to court, like, oh, it looks like they're going to win on court one. Let's watch the win on court one. Then let's go back to court four to watch this thing. So it's just like, if you haven't been to a tennis match, come support the Cowgirls. And hopefully the Cowboys make it back for the championship and support them too.
Isn't this all during finals? Like what's the schedule going like for the tennis team?
I don't know.
I feel like this is maybe a little bit of an, you know, we talk about it all the time with football, where it's like, hey, you can't bowl season during finals. I think that they're having their bowl season during finals. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, here we go. Okay. There's an plane as I pull up the schedule. Sorry for that noise. Okay. So selection will happen this weekend. And then I'm trying to read. This bracket is so small. Okay. First and second round is like May 3rd to 5th. And then the super regionals are May 10th or 11th. And then quarterfinals start May 17th. So yes, to answer your question, Justin, it would technically be during finals.
Tough times. Tough times. This is what the student athletes have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Don't think about that though, do you? You just want to see them win all the time. With no pressure from the outside, no worries about academic life.
I feel bad for the three seniors, and it happens to softball all the time that they have to play a game graduation weekend, which is going to happen this time. And I think it's the super regional weekend. There's one weekend, either super regionals or the NCAA championship week. It might be championship weekend actually. That baseball and softball might both be hosting regionals or super regional. Or no, baseball would be at Big 12 and OKC. Softball would be hosting a super regional, and then we'd be hosting the NCAA tournament. So it could just be
I think crazy. Big 12 is back in Arlington now, right?
Is it?
I think so, right. Sadly.
Someone said OKC earlier, so that's what I was going
that's
with.
What it has been traditionally, but I think,
so
yeah.
Probably just relying on that. I'll blame that. But yeah, so it's going to be exciting times in May, lots of sports, and should be fun. Yeah. Stillwater. So guys, if you haven't been
a little bit more action than your standard spring football stuff.
Yeah. Well, Justin, speaking of spring football, final week of spring practice going on right now, wraps up on Saturday. And I've said it the last few weeks, but I'm excited about this team.
Yeah, we keep bringing on guests that hype us up. I'm like, let's settle down a little bit. It's only April, but it's hard not to be excited whenever you look at everything we have coming back compared to some of these other teams, and you just have high expectations. And I mean, pressure is a privilege at this point for the boys. So
I talked to Ceci Vailahi last week, and I asked him just what's the competition like in the running back room. He said there's a lot of competition, and that the running backs are, quote, coming different this year and expect them to be even more physical and stronger than last year. But what I really liked about my conversation with Ceci is I asked him, of course, you have to ask, what's it like sitting in a room with Ollie Gordon? What do you learn from him? And he said that Ollie is just the ultimate teammate, has been a great role model, always coaching him up when he needs it. If Ceci, you know, makes a mistake at practice and is hanging his head, Ollie's the first guy to be like, nope, pick your head up, let's go, you're fine, you got this. Which, like, you don't hear that from about superstars all the time. They could be focused in their own world, worried about themselves, but that's, I mean, not that I expect that from Ollie, because I think that he's just a great person and is a great teammate. You heard it from his O-line as well. But for Ceci, who's in the room with him, to say that, I'm like, okay, I'm excited to see. Obviously, Ollie is going to get the carries, but I'm excited to see what RBs 2 and 3 do this season as well.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear about Ollie stepping into more of a leadership role, being that role model. And you're going to respect that maybe a little bit more, because he's out there putting in the same work as you. And he's basically saying, if I can do it, you can do it, versus hearing that from a coach. And there's nothing wrong with coaches saying that to the players. I mean, that's good motivation, but whenever you have it from a player, not to mention the best running back in the nation telling you that, I mean, that's just going to, you know, elevate your game. It means that much more. And I love that Sessie's basically saying that the running backs this year are going to be even more physical. At the same time, pick your battles, right? It's a long season, and I don't need anybody getting hurt. So I have no doubt that these guys are going to be physical, but at the same time, like, I don't need you running into a massive D-end or a Nick Martin type of guy at linebacker, which how many Nick Martins out there in the world, but I digress. If you want to be physical, punish those cornerbacks on outside runs and things like that if you want to. Ollie, I know you're used to hurdling guys. It looks really cool, but, you know, let's be safe out there. At the same time, yeah, flex on them a little bit. So do what you got to do. Have a nice balance of it, all right? And play smart, play physical, play hard, give good effort. Say it all the time. Like the guys, I think that one of the big differences last year, our defensive guys especially, were throwing their bodies around. Just no regard for their own health. And yeah, like while that's what you kind of have to do in football, Nick Martin was hurt in game three and he had to play through that injury. I wonder how much better Nick Martin could have been if he wasn't injured. You know what I mean? So play physical, yes, but also play smart. That's all I'll say. That just you do you, okay? You do you. But I'm such a caring fan. I need the health out there as well.
Yeah. The other thing that we've talked a lot about this season was Paul Randolph, the new coach of the defensive line. And not a single person has had a bad thing to say about him. Not that you would expect that, but everyone is just singing his praises. I talked to Jaleel Johnson. He said he has improved tremendously in the few months that he's worked with Randolph and his skill set has grown, and that he is so big on building relationships with his players. And Randolph's been here since maybe January. So we're in April, you know, 3-4 months. And I think the D line could be, you could see a big difference, a big step up in the D line this season, based on the few conversations I've had with D linemen this offseason and just what Paul Randolph has brought to that position group.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to hear about. Defensive line was a little bit of a weakness, if you want to call it that, last year compared to the rest of the team. So if they're going to have a big improvement, of course, I'm going to take it back to Justin Blackmon. Don't just talk about it. You got to be about it. So I'm excited for them to have the opportunity to do that starting week one, you know, being able to get after that offensive line from South Dakota State. They have had historically a good offensive line. They've got some guys that are going to the NFL. Like, that's how good these guys have been. And while they're in FCS school, you have to prove it every single week. Starts with them. And then the week after that, you're going, you know, same thing with Arkansas. And you just go from there. So yeah, having that on your mind now, obviously it's April and it's not the same. We don't even have the spring game to kind of judge where these guys are at, but for the way that they're talking with all the confidence, I like it. I like it.
We're going to get to the spring game in just a minute, Justin, but before we get to that, I need to ask an important question. So Coach Nardo has had each defensive position group over for a team dinner this spring, and Jaleel confirmed that he served a taco casserole as his dish for the players. If you were to host a wide receivers team dinner, because that was the position group that you were in, what would you serve them?
So Nardo did taco casseroles.
Taco casserole is what Jaleel said the defensive line had.
Mm. I mean, I get it, because if you're going to have a big group, a casserole kind of dish. Let's see. So if I'm going to do a team dinner, I mean, I just got to go all, like, this is my favorite thing to cook is chicken fajitas. Uh-oh. I like to marinate them the night before if possible, where you have some cilantro, lime, garlic, cumin, all that mixed in there. Let it marinate overnight. Throw it on the grill. We got some tortillas going, warming those up. We got corn. Some bell peppers. It can be corn. It can be flour. I know this has been a hot topic over the last week, thanks to a former host on this show. But yeah, I think corn is a little bit better than flour in the case of chicken fajitas, a little bit more authentic. But, you know, yeah, all of that together, guacamole, got to put that in there. And man, yeah, they were just love it. Like that's all I can say about it. It's like by far my favorite meal to cook. It's probably the tastiest meal that I cook. So I'm going to give the players the best. All right. If we're coming over to Papa Southwell's, we're going to have to eat some of that. The Southwell tacos, fajitas. It's some good stuff.
Yeah. When I was in high school, we would do team dinners for sports. I don't know if you did that for sports too, like the night before a game.
No.
We'd go to different teammates' house. Like parents would sign up for what day they'd have it. And the night before the big game, we would go over and it would usually be like pasta and like carby meals.
Yeah. I got to carve up.
Yeah. I got to carve
up. That's some good community though, for the families and teams that can do that. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And so my mom, being the saint that she is, she thought that it was a good idea to have like the field hockey team that I was on and the soccer team that my brother was on together at the same time. So you're talking like 50, 60 kids at your house for dinner. And she would make this massive like tortellini pasta salad and would just make like bowls and bowls of tortellini. And then you would like shred a rotisserie chicken.
Nice.
And you could put some vegetables in it. Like balsamic and olive oil on it. And it's just like an easy pasta salad with regular salad. So that probably be my go-to just because it's like good for a crowd, brings back memories. And then during lacrosse season, our team tradition was to have monkey bread. You always had to have monkey bread for dessert. So I might break out the monkey bread because who doesn't love monkey bread?
It's a good call. I feel like an easy dessert would be ice cream.
Fair.
Just have a bunch of ice cream, scoop that out and, you know, you balance out some of the heat from my fajitas with the coolness of the ice cream. And I'm going to go make some fajitas. All right. See y'all later.
Now we can talk about the lack of spring game. As everyone knows, there was no spring game last year or this year due to the construction in Boone Pickens Stadium. Last year, they had a little bit of a meet and greet with players. And this year, to replace it, it was like spring weekend. Softball was in town. Baseball was in town. They had a little fan meet and greet at Sherman E. Smith for football. This year, they're not doing any of that. That's not a thing. What do you think the future holds, Justin, for the Oklahoma State spring game after missing out on it the last two seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they just do away with it, you know, because at least that kind of seems to be the sentiment from Coach Gundy anyway. It's kind of like it's not really a game. It's kind of hard to watch. So I get it from that standpoint. Why continue to do something that we've always done if it doesn't make sense for you to continue to do that thing? You don't have to worry about, you know, risking injuries and things like that. And I mean, I understand it, but it is sad. And in the whole sense of the pageantry and traditions of college football, it seemed like every year people look forward to the spring game it's going to help us get through the spring and the summer until that first week. And for guys like me and Eve, it was always a chance for us to, you know, get some actual live game type of reps against the guys. So it was special for me just to be able to have my family there, to be able to say, you know, hey, on the team, get to roll out here, get to, you know, line up, catch some passes, and you know, they get to see that because they don't get to see it for practice and things like that. Maybe you can catch some highlights every once in a while that they'll throw on YouTube, but it's a different atmosphere. It's like not as good as a game, obviously, but to have thousands of fans in the stands, a spring game is the closest that a lot of these guys will get to an actual game. So it's sad that that aspect is getting taken away if that's the case in the future. But
and I haven't heard anything definitive either way in the future, just for the record out there. I just know that it has not been a thing the last 2 years. And you mentioned Gundy not loving it, which I understand. You can't run actually, you know, if you want to like implement a really cool trick play this season, you're not going to air it at the, you're not going to test it at the spring game because fans record things and things get on the internet and then it's a lost cause. But he's also said like he gets that they're important for the fans. So I'm like, maybe do you do like a fun little flag football Pro Bowl-esque thing where it's kind of like a skills competition and there's offense versus defense so fans can come and see? Because I think the televised, I've said this before in recent weeks, that like the televised spring games, like the Alabama Crimson and White game, like I don't, this like televising it, I get why networks do it, but I'm not going to sit and watch a spring game. But for fans, that could be their only chance to get inside the stadium because they might not be able to afford tickets for a family of four to go watch the Cowboys play on a Saturday in September. So that's why I like it. We were talking about it at the Legends dinner on Friday night. And one of my producers for OSU Max, his idea was they should do like a fan fest type thing, charge people maybe $10 and you get to go into Sherman E. Smith or wherever you want to hold it and get anything you want autographed. And then all that money, that $10 per person money would get divided amongst the players who showed up to sign things.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool. I don't know. It's hard, so hard to keep up with like what's permissible under the NIL, under the guise of NIL.
Right.
And what isn't, it's like, can Oklahoma State put on this event and it be quote unquote legal under these NCAA laws? Or will they just not even care anymore? Like Tennessee, like, okay, sure. Go ahead and try to hit us with some penalties. We do not care. Yeah. We will sue you. So I don't know if that's something that's feasible under these rules, but I know that OSU prides themselves in taking these matters seriously and not wanting to even mess around in the gray area and a lot of this stuff. So I would imagine that that's maybe something that was discussed. And if it is even a gray area, I would imagine that they're just not even going to mess with it because we don't want to deal with a headache. We don't want to deal with the potential repercussions that may come from it. And you gotta respect that because of everything that's happened in the past with Oklahoma State and the NCAA. But I mean, if it is something that is permissible, I mean, makes sense for these guys. Just come in here and get a bunch of autographs, pay $10 or whatever, and we'll go divvy this money out amongst the players. Like seems like a good idea to me. I like the idea of just basically saying, you know, we'll have a walkthrough practice type of thing. This isn't for fans, obviously, but for the players, just walkthrough practice. And then when we're done, we're all just going to head over across the street. We're going to go, you know, take up a section or two in the baseball outfield and support our Cowboys, support the Cowgirls playing softball or whatever the case is, so that we're all here. I know that those players will support the football team whenever they're in the stands at Boone Pickens Stadium. So same thing, let's go over there and we'll do that for them and have the opportunity to do that for basketball and for wrestling and other times of the year. But I mean, that's, I feel like that's important for all the football, for the football players to support the other athletes that are attending the university.
I like that idea. Go and support other teams. I like that. It's a good one. Get some corrals at Obrate and grill and
yeah,
there you go.
Perfect setup out there.
There you go. Yeah. Justin, because it is spring and there's not much new news with college football, CFB Home decided to put together a best coach bracket because we love competition. And our own Mike Gundy is facing off against fellow one seed Kirby Smart in the Final Four. Smart beat out Kyle Whittingham and Gundy beat out JMU's Bob Chesney. Talk about a dark horse.
I feel like part of that is there are a bunch of Ryan Day Ohio State haters out there, for him to be able to, you know, surpass Ryan Day in that bracket. But yeah, sure. Oh, that's an interesting route to the Final Four. We had a Cinderella guy here in the Elite Eight, and Gundy had to put him away. So
what I think's wild though, Justin, is that Kirby he had 53.9. So we'll say 54% of the vote, and Whittingham had 46% of the vote. So that one was pretty close. Gundy and Chesney was like 65-35 to Gundy. So that was a bigger swing, but I was like, okay. And then in the other bracket is also shocking. We have third seed Josh Heupel from Tennessee and seven seed Neil Brown from West Virginia.
Well done, West Virginia fans. This sounds like a West Virginia Twitter takeover.
He knocked off number one seed Dabo Sweeney, national champion, two-time national champion.
Right.
Dabo Sweeney.
And had this poll been done a year prior, there's no way that this is the same Neil Brown defeating Dabo. Like, a lot of fans were wanting him gone. Neil Brown was on his way out before he beat Oklahoma State on that rainy, treacherous day in Stillwater. And here he is, sitting pretty in the Final Four.
I'm kind of shocked that Kalen DeBoer is not on there. Because of what he did at Washington, and now he's the head coach of Alabama. I mean, I know he doesn't have, like, he's kind of a newcomer on the rise, and I get that. But how do we have Neil Brown and Heupel in the Final Four? But Neil Brown.
Tennessee has a big presence on Twitter.
But
that one makes sense, I guess. But West Virginia is surprising. West Virginia.
Brown edged out Dabo by 1.4%. So talk about a close one. And there were a lot of, I mean, they were Oklahoma State fans, but there were some other people in the comments on voting, because they, you know, they say like, vote and tell us why you picked that coach. So for Kirby versus Gundy, which by the time this airs, it'll probably be decided on who is the best coach, because it's been like a daily thing. But regardless, people were giving Gundy a lot of credit in the comments, because although Kirby's win percentage is better, he is 94-16 overall for an 85.45 win percentage. Gundy 166-79 for 67.76. Kirby 42-2 in the last three seasons. Gundy 29-12. We're just gonna forget about 2022. We're just gonna, you know, half of those losses came in one season, so we're just not gonna pay attention to that.
It's come so far since then.
Yeah, but people are giving Gundy credit for what he has done with this program with way less resources and way less money. You know, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in recruiting for Oklahoma State versus millions of dollars in recruiting for Georgia.
Right. Now, I get the arguments. It's a little bit hyperbolic, but Oklahoma State's facilities should absolutely not be slept on. Even though they're more than a decade old at this point, they're still some of the best in the country. So the lure for even the guys that maybe were overlooked, they're still good players, and we're finding that out. And Gundy and crew, they're getting the best out of them. But absolutely, with the recruiting budgets just stacked up against one another, that's crazy. Now, my guy Pistol Rick had a great tweet that said, people forget that Kirby Smart never won anything until he plucked from the Mike Gundy coaching tree. Makes you think. And then has a picture of our guy, Todd Monken. So, great point. I love it. I'm here for all the Twitter debates. It's amazing. But at the same time, Gundy is here because this isn't just Oklahoma State fans taking over, in my opinion. I mean, there are some Oklahoma State fans that love Gundy. There are some Oklahoma State fans that don't like Gundy. And I'm sure it's like that across the board for the majority of college football fan bases. But still, this is like college football. The college football world is participating to an extent of however many votes there are on Twitter for this. But they're picking the best, who they think's the best coach. Not necessarily just because, you know, I like Oklahoma State over Georgia. I'm going to pick Mike Gundy over Kirby Smart. That's not the way that this poll is supposed to work. It's supposed to be who's the best coach. And the arguments that are being made are legitimate arguments. And I think that Gundy absolutely has done more with less. And if he had the resources as Georgia and Kirby Smart, how many national championships would he have right now? I don't know. But something to think about.
I'm trying to scroll through to see if there's like a update of the scoring on that, but I can't find the tweet right now.
Just yeah, he kind of tweets a lot. He's kind of buried. So I got, there are 13 hours and 12 minutes left in this poll. Kirby Smart is actually leading 52% to 48% with 7,910 votes tallied.
You know what? I haven't voted. I just voted for, of course, Mike Gundy, because I am loyal and true, although championships mean something, but I'm going to ride with my coach because that's what we do here at Oklahoma State.
We do it. But also, if you're in Oklahoma State camp and you think that Kirby Smart is a better coach, by looking at the national championships, I can understand your argument as well. So I have respect on both sides of this, but of course I voted for Mike Gundy based on some of these other arguments. But Smart does have an 85.45% win percentage, 42-2 in his last three seasons. So 95%. That's so good.
That's insane.
You know, it's hard to say Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy is the better coach than Kirby Smart. If you just straight up look at the numbers that are listed in the tweet, you really have to know your football to know that Mike Gundy, or to make the argument that Mike Gundy actually is a better coach than Kirby Smart. And then it's a spirited debate from there, and it's all preference, but that's a good matchup. It's a great, I mean, we're talking about the Final Four here out of all the college football coaches out there.
And, you know, honestly, if we're gonna get knocked out of the Final Four, I'd rather get knocked out to Kirby Smart, who is a powerhouse at Georgia, has won back-to-back national championships, than, like, Neil Brown. You know?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
No shade to Neil Brown, but I just think Kirby's resume is better, that I'd rather lose to that resume than Neil Brown.
100% agree.
But when you look at, you know, 166 wins, that's still a lot. That's a lot of freaking wins. And to have made a bowl every year except your first for like 18, 19 years straight, like that's you got to look at his entire, the numbers say a lot, but they don't say everything to Justin.
So, but I'll back this up. We're talking about, I mean, these are people that I believe know ball who are voting here. Okay. Mike Gundy is in the Final Four, and you've got national writers that are trying to tell you that he's not a top three, top four coach in the Big 12. Get out of here. Come on. Come on.
Bye. Well, before we say bye, some programming. Oh, wait, no. Guys, NFL draft is this week. Good luck to all of the guys who are in the draft from Oklahoma State. Justin, do you think anybody is going to get the call this weekend?
The draft call?
Yeah.
Man, it would be tough if we didn't have it. It's such a weird deal. It's like, I'm sad about it. If nobody gets drafted, it's like, dang, you kind of ruined the streak we had going again. But when you take a step back and look at who all is moving on from Oklahoma State, well, I mean, we have so many guys returning that we just don't have a wide selection to be potentially drafted. And, you know, if you're having all those guys come back for another year, are you sad about that? Maybe not so much. But I am excited for anybody that is going to be repping Oklahoma State in the NFL, because that's a big deal, especially in this day and age, right? You got people transferring all over the place. You got guys that were former Oklahoma State players. Maybe that's what we need to look for. Guys that formerly played at Oklahoma State, are you getting drafted? Maybe we can claim you a little bit if you still kind of claim us. Depends on how you left, I guess. But yeah, that's just the nature of what college football is in this season that we're in. I think that maybe potentially with NIL and maybe contracts being introduced and incentives for people to stay at the place that they sign, maybe we'll see the transfer portal slow down in the future. But as it is right now, It's still a madhouse. So I would like to think, though, that some of these guys that left Oklahoma State for what they thought were better opportunities, that there's still a place for Oklahoma State in your heart. And I'm sure that there are guys still in Stillwater who look at you as, hey, this guy's, he's still my bro. He's still family. So I don't know. We'd have to kind of, you know, go on an individual case by case basis, but we'll be on the lookout. I'm excited for the potential of guys that maybe don't get drafted, but they get picked up on his team as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah. Well, as a Patriots fan, we have the number 3 overall pick. I am fully prepared for them to trade back because there have been rumors swirling that they might trade with the Vikings. It's what they do. I know Belichick is gone. He's no longer the GM or head coach, but it's just what the Patriots do. I am preparing that they trade back in the draft. But as long as they take a quarterback in the top.
But like, to the Vikings, that's not that far of a drop, is it?
I think at the last mock that I saw from, I forget who, maybe Pro Football Focus, Patriots were at like 10 or 11. And so like the Vikings traded up and then the Patriots took JJ McCarthy in that mock draft, which like I don't hate because the last time they drafted a quarterback from Michigan, it worked out pretty well. I just don't want Drake May. I don't want him. Go
Interesting.
Away. Go away. But we do need.
I've heard good things. I've seen talks about the upside, but I mean, yeah, drop a comment right now in the comment section below. If you had to choose between JJ McCarthy and Drake May, who are you going to pick?
Personally, I want Michael Penix or Jaden Daniels. Those are my top two choices. But I also would love to see them either draft or sign Leon Johnson because they love to take those undersized receivers. That's a position that we were lacking last season. We get Kendrick Bourne back. But, you know, Leon Johnson, you'd look really good in that red, white, and blue.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
Yeah.
So as long as they get a good quarterback situation going, because Mac Jones didn't pan out. And it might be, I mean, depending on who they get and the opportunities that are there, I don't know. Like Patriots might be struggling for a little bit on the offense. So maybe it's not the best situation for him to go there. I don't know.
But to all those guys who do not get the draft call this weekend, but are actually regardless, if you're drafted or you're an undrafted free agent, we asked Eve, who is our resident football team expert analyst, who is no longer at the show.
Who's that?
I don't know. I just texted random people and got some advice. But yeah, and this was what one of them wrote back to me. Spend all your time learning the playbook as fast as you can. The sooner the coaches and your teammates trust you, you know what you're doing, the better shot you'll have and the more freely you'll be able to play. So learn the playbook and don't sleep on special teams because special teams are important and that's how guys get on the rosters. Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
Speaking of TEDs, I'm just kidding.
Those flour tortillas. Well, guys, before Justin and I go get some Mexican food, because we've been talking about fajitas and tacos all night prior to the show and then obviously in the show, a little scheduling note for our loyal and true listeners. We will be taking next week off, but we will be back May 9th, just in time for graduation. And we can discuss where guys went in the draft, if they got drafted, you know, some more spring football news, the portal's opening again. Will there be any more movement? Will we get anybody in the portal? I don't know. But yeah, so don't miss us too much next week. And if you do, just go back and re-listen or rewatch old episodes and you can just still feel like you're with us.
It's true.
But thanks for listening to this episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. Like, share, subscribe, rate, review, comment, complain, all the things, you know, and see you in 2 weeks. Go Pokes.
Anything is possible if you just believe. Go Pokes.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.